Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Thank you, Brother Ben. I promise not to keep you guys too long. My hands are a bit tired from playing the bass. I don't know why I put myself, it's a mission, you know, but I love music, enjoy it. And I'm just grateful today that I, pastor's given me the opportunity and the leadership, and I thank them that I can share just a word of encouragement, and hopefully that it will bless somebody this morning. And without further ado, if we could just all stand for the reading, if you can turn to the book of Luke chapter 17. We're going to read from verses 11. Down to 19. And it reads, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? But why is there only 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. 19, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Turn to your neighbor and say, be grateful. Just going to preach and share on just a simple message on being grateful. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I guess life is full of challenges, right? And there's not one person that's probably sitting in this sanctuary that has not somewhat struggled with issues. You might have struggled with finances. It might be relationships. It might be spiritual. It might be physical in nature. But everyone that is sitting here, that is present in this sanctuary, somewhat can relate to the struggle and the challenge of living this life, right? It's not an easy life. And so our attitudes, our behavior is somewhat impacted by the choices and the decisions that you make around how you respond. And so how I respond somewhat determines how I perceive things, how I see things, how I understand about things. So the question, how does the way I respond to the challenges and the struggles that life present, how does that affect and impact my faith? How did it affect the way that you turned up to service this morning? I mean, did you just turn up so you could hook up with somebody? Did you just turn up so you could catch up with a brother? Did you turn up this morning Because your perspective of church is more of a social club? Is that why you're here today? Are you here today because somewhat it's out of routine? Are you here today because you've got nothing else better to do on a Sunday? So I'll rock up to church and just chill out with everybody and catch up with the latest gossip. Or did you turn up today because you had to face some struggles this week? Did you turn up today because you had to fight some real battles this week? Did you turn up to service because you were faced with some huge and big challenges? And so you made the decision to be here in service. So that means that you believe that you being present in service will somewhat have a positive impact on whatever your situation is. So the reality is this, that your perspective and the way that you see things is a result of a decision that you made regarding whatever it is that you're facing. And so you made a decision to come to church. Because you know why? Somehow you believe that if you're here, that God is going to speak to your situation. You made a decision to be in church today because you believe somehow God is going to come good on a promise. You believe somehow that you, by being here today, God is going to come good on a prayer request. You believe somehow that God is going to give you direction. Somehow you believe that God is going to deliver you out of the mess that you're in. Messy. Mess. Some of us are in a big mess. You see, how you respond will determine how you perceive things and see things. And can I just encourage you this morning that faith sees beyond the facts? Faith sees beyond the facts. And you see, you know why I love the story of Luke chapter 17? Because it's not really about the 10 lepers and the miracles that were present and that were going on. It's not really about the miracle that we just read. But you know what it's really about? It's about the individual and their attitude in how they respond to what Jesus has done and is doing in their life. That's what this story is about. It's about attitude. It's about how you respond to what Jesus is doing in your life. How do you respond? The question is, how do I respond to the challenges, to the struggles that life presents, and how does it affect my faith? How do you respond when somebody offends you? How do you respond when somebody begins to talk about you and you hear about it? How do you respond when somebody hurts your little feelings? How do you respond? Do you sit there and you sulk? Or do you get on your knees and do you pray? Do you respond in love? Do you respond in forgiveness? How do you respond? How do you respond when your marriage is messed up? How do you respond when you've got relationships that are toxic? Are you going to make choices? Are you going to make choices about those that you hang around with? How do you respond when life throws the kitchen sink to you? How do you respond to that? when people don't agree with what you see. You see, there was a pastoral conference where there were leaders, ministers, and one of the facilitators challenged the group. And he challenged them with the question, what is it that really gets under your nerve? What is it about the people that you work with that really annoy you? This was the question the facilitator proposed to these leaders and these pastors. And you know what? One pastor stood up, and you know what he said? He said, one of my pet peeves is an ungrateful person. One of his pet peeves was an ungrateful person. Now, that we can all relate to that, right? I can relate to that. I mean, have you ever opened the door to a stranger? Down at Macca's, you pulled out a seat for that person because why? You're just trying to be courteous, right? And you know what's really annoying? You know what's really annoying? When you go above and beyond for someone and somebody, right? And they can't respond with a simple thank you. How rude, right? You see, we've got to learn to be grateful and thankful when someone is being courteous to you. You see, I grew up in a home where my parents pressed on us, me and my siblings, regarding how to be grateful. I grew up in a home that my parents made sure that I was thankful. If you grow up in an islander home, you can say amen. Because they made sure that you knew that you were grateful for whatever they did. And you see, my parents were part of that generation. That if you have an ungrateful child, it is a sign of bad parenting. Because when a child does not know how to say thank you, when somebody has done something for them, it means mommy and daddy didn't teach them any manners. Amen? How can you sit in this sanctuary with your arms folded and not be thankful? How can you sit here and not give God the glory when you think about what He has done? How can you not give God all the honor when you think about what Jesus has done for you? How can you sit there and not make some noise? Hallelujah. When you think about how good God has been, how can you not shout? How can you not clap your hands? How can you not make any noise? How can you not be thankful? You see, worship requires an expression of gratitude. You can't worship God without being thankful. You cannot come into this service and worship God and praise God without understanding what He has done. I told you I got a simple message this morning. And God wants to remind you that what He has done for you, because some of us are lacking. God has done a lot for us. God has done a lot for some of us. Amen. Let me give you some context of what was taking place. where Jesus was at, the Bible tells us, somewhere between Samaria and Galilee. It doesn't tell us what the town was. It doesn't tell us. It was an unknown town that he entered. And when he enters into the town, there are these 10 lepers. And they're standing afar off. And you see, these 10 lepers, their leprosy wasn't so far advanced that they had to be quarantined. But they were still contagious. And the law required that they had to stand from a distance. And they had to shout so that they could make their presence known and that the public were aware of where they were. And you know what they cried out to Jesus? They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And in that plea, you can see that there's a prayer, hope, that they would be healed. And Jesus tells them, "Go and show thyself to the priest. Go and show yourself that you've been healed." You see, the Old Testament, the law in the Old Testament required that if a man or a woman that had leprosy, they were excommunicated. Excommunicado. John Wick, no. They were excommunicated. I had to throw that in, did I? They were excommunicated from their families and all their friends. And the only way of re-entry was that someone or somebody had to come and examine them thoroughly and then determine that the leprosy was totally healed or totally gone. It was totally eradicated. And so when you had leprosy and you said that you were healed, you then had to go and see a priest. And that priest then would examine you. And then he would check you. And then when he was satisfied that the leprosy was totally gone, he would write a certificate, a validation. And that you were then allowed to be restored to your family and your friends. And so Jesus tells them, go and show yourself and get confirmation from the priest. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 17? It says that as they went, they were healed. Isn't that pretty amazing, Brother Kitty? As they went, they were healed. You know what that means? It means every step that they took, brother, something began to happen. Every move they made, healing began to take place. Every step that they took, things began to fall off. Can you imagine that? Things began to fall off their body. Every step that they took forward, the past began to fall off. Every step that they began to take, change began to happen, brother. Every step they took, there was progress. Every step that they took, Brother Michael, they got better and they got better and they got better. Isn't that like some of us who have come to Jesus, baptized into his wonderful name, filled with his Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. And we began to see, Sister Jemima, God changing us. We began to see addiction go. we began to see the struggles in our life go. When we came to Christ, we began to see these changes, Brother Ben. Guess what? Some of you are better fathers today. Some of you are better mothers today. Some of you are better daughters. Some of you are better sons today. Some of us are a better version of who we used to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. Everything, every step, every time they took a step forward, something happened. Whatever it is you're facing today, God says, if you take a step, if you take a step forward, He's going to meet you. Faith sees beyond the facts, my brother. The facts say that I've got cancer. The facts say that I've got diabetes. That's what the facts are saying. The facts say that I'm not going to live for too long, brother. The facts are saying that your situation is really messed up. But how you respond today, hallelujah, will determine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. You see, this man, the two types of response there was, nine of them decided to go ahead and see the priest. And only one of them decided that as he began to experience the change, this awesome transformation that was taking place, he doesn't follow the nine, but he turns and he runs back. And he yells at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that he begins to glorify God. And he thanks Jesus for what he has done. Because you know what? You know what this story is about? The Bible tells us. Jesus asked the question. I thought I sent 10 of you. And only one of you came back. Only one of you could say thank you. Because you know what this story is about? That God, he has issues. Yeah. God has issues with ungrateful people. This is what this is about. God has issues when he does something for you. And you can't just say thank you. God has issues with an ungrateful bunch of people. And trust me, we've all been in that dilemma. But God wants you to learn that no matter what you face in life, no matter what the challenges are, no matter how bad your struggle is, no matter how bad your situation is, no matter how far off you think you are, God, it just says, all you need to understand, the Bible says, enter in to his courts with what? With thanksgiving in your heart. Don't worry about what's happening. Hallelujah. Don't worry about your trouble. All you need to learn is that God is bigger than all your problems. And the Bible says, be still and just know. Be still. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation, brother. I don't know how I'm going to get out and pass this wall that is blocking my success in life. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I tell you how. Just get on your knees and start to thank God. You see, the problem is this. A lot of you, a lot of us, we think church begins here. No, it doesn't. Church begins in your bedroom. You see, when you can learn how to thank God in your bedroom, when nobody's around, when you can learn to thank God and appreciate God for what He has done, you can come into a sanctuary like this and you could go crazy. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. Because you know what God has done. You understand what He has done and what He is doing in your life. I'm going to take some shortcuts. You see, the reason why I believe, and the Bible doesn't really make it clear why these nine were really ungrateful. The Bible doesn't really make it clear, but I have kind of an inclination or a thought that possibly that these nine, when Jesus had told them to go towards the priest, that as they began to take every step, and they realized that every step that they took was getting better, and every step that they took forward was better than the step that they took before, that somehow they believed that because they were making and taking these steps, it had to do, that they had to do their steps, them taking the steps had something to do with why they got healed. Yeah? These nine Galileans. You know, in a church, there's always two types of people. Galileans and your Samaritans. And these Galileans, and see, check whether you're a Galilean or not. You know, Galileans, they're like these lepers, right? They know how to shout when they need something. Jesus, why don't you help a brother out? Yo, we're all Galileans. Jesus is our homeboy. Eshe, lad. Eswa, I told my son we were speaking that big Latin way before. Eshe. One of the boys. Jesus. Galileans. They feel entitled. Yeah? You see, sometimes we're ungrateful because we feel that we deserve it. Somehow, your degree that puts money or food on the table, somehow you believe and you get mixed up with the grace of God. Ungrateful people. You're ungrateful, and you know what that is? It's a religious spirit. You see, the more you become religious, the more you feel that you are owed something. Hallelujah. Can I speak to some Samaritans? You see, the Samaritan realized something. When Jesus intervened, he realized that he was a Samaritan. He realized that he didn't deserve it. He realized that I really don't deserve this. Am I speaking to some Samaritans? Is there a Samaritan in the house? Hallelujah. You see, the Samaritan realized his worth. You know what? You need to be grateful to God. Because there are some things that God did for you that you can do for yourself. I think you didn't hear me. You know why you need to be grateful? God has done some things for you that you couldn't do on yourself, by yourself. Come on now. God has done some things for you that you couldn't do on your own. That's why you gotta be thankful. Somebody, take a look into your life And can you say, God did this, and God did that, and God delivered me from this, and God gave me this, and God blessed me with this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has done some things for you that you couldn't do on your own. That's why we got to be grateful. You've got to realize this. You've got to understand this. Because when Jesus, when he asks, where are the nine? Where are the other guys? It was like holy disgust. He was disgusted. And in that question, you see, when we worship God, you see, your worship should not be motivated by music. You can't manufacture. You see, the Bible says that God is waiting for the true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you see, real gratitude, real thankfulness is not manufactured. It is not dependent on at the end of the mic of the praise and worship leader who tells you to get up and praise God. Now, you see, like this Samaritan, when he saw the changes in his life and when he saw God moving, when he could see that God was restoring families, restoring his relationship. I gotta say today, out of all people here, I'm grateful. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I'm thankful my family's saved, my children are saved. I've got a reason to stand here and worship God, because I understand what he's done, Kitty. I understand how he's touched my children. I've seen how he's restored my family. I've got a reason. And you know what? I don't have to wait for a praise and worship team. I don't have to wait for a song. I don't have to wait. Why? Because the change, something within me demands that I give a shout. Something deep within me, the change that I've seen, it demands me to praise and to worship God and to give him glory. You know, the thing about leprosy is this. The man, that Samaritan. You see, leprosy is one of those diseases that if it's just left, it gets worse. If leprosy is just left, it gets worse. Wow, you know why you should praise God today? My Lord, if God didn't move, if he didn't intervene, you wouldn't be here. If God had not pulled me out of my situation, I would have been dead. You wouldn't be here. If God had not intervened, Brother Bully, glory, who knows where you would be. Let me tell you today, the reason why you should thank God, hallelujah, today is exactly what the lepers had cried out for. Mercy on us. You should be grateful that you got out of bed this morning. God's mercy. You see, The Bible says that while you and I were still sinners. Brother, he died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall have everlasting life. There's nothing that you did. There's no money. It wasn't about who you were. There was nothing that you could give that warranted God's grace. Like the Samaritan, we need all to realize that it was nothing of our own accord. There was nothing that we did. It's not about all the degrees that I have and how good my job and my position is. That doesn't give me the grace of God. That doesn't give me the right. I'm not entitled only because I have these things that are successful. No, it's nothing about that. You know, it's because you were a sinner. Because you were undone. That is why. It's by God's grace and by His grace alone. And we all need to realize that we need to give God His due. Musicians, can you please come up? I'm sorry that I took a bit too long. You're here today because it's God's mercy. By His mercy, you got here safely. That the car on the road that you drove past didn't smash into. It's by God's mercy that you are here today. Hallelujah. It's by God's mercy that you have breath in your lungs. It's by God's mercy that you can enjoy the life that you are living. And I know some of you are going through trials and struggles, but you know what? Because you've got the breath of life, you have the opportunity to give God back the glory. And you know what the Bible says? It says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If you're grateful this morning, why don't you just stand and give the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the praises. Why don't we take a moment just to thank God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't we, if you're grateful to God about something, if you're thankful to God about something, why don't you come to the front this morning, lift up your hands, and acknowledge that gratefulness towards God. If you need something from the Lord this morning, why don't you lift up your hands in thankfulness, in gratefulness to God. Be ready to receive what God has for you, whatever it is that you're seeking God for. If you need the Holy Ghost this morning, you need to repent of your sins, you need to believe on Jesus, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, lift your hands, start worshiping, start praising God, lift your voice. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost before, if you start to praise God, know who you are in God, know how much He loves you, and forget everything else. Surrender to Him. God will fill you with His Spirit, and out of your belly it shall flow like a river of living water, and you'll begin to speak in other tongues, an unknown language, as the Spirit of God gives you the ability. But you need to do it. The Spirit's not going to make you, it's not going to force your mouth open. You need to speak in tongues. As you're praising God, I remember the first time I got it, I just lifted my hands. I started crying out, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Lord. And within minutes, my mouth started to shift. I started to speak in other tongues. And then it just flowed like a river of living water as I began to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you need to thank God for something, come down here. Thank God. If God has delivered you, God has more for you. But you need to be grateful, amen? You might have been healed, but God wants to make you whole. God wants to make you whole, but you need to be grateful and thankful to Him. Hallelujah. And God can make you whole this morning. God can heal you and make you whole. He can deliver you and make you free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your manifold grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's be grateful this morning for everything that He's done.